This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
When you want to grow your business, use Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Seamlessly collaborate with your team using a suite of built-in tools and features to make your workday easier, like huddles to schedule impromptu meetings and avoid another calendar invite, or Workflow Builder, which lets you automate routine tasks so you can spend more time on the work that matters most. Slack. Grow your business here. Learn more at slack.com.
On today's episode of the Bolts Broadcast, let the playoffs begin. Stay tuned. Season 4, episode 54 of the Bolts Broadcast. Mike Mitchelson and Chase Grosha with you today. Chase, how are you on this lovely Sunday afternoon?
I am doing pretty well overall, you know, just chilling. As I told you a little bit before, a little bit frazzled from some stuff today, but, you know, calming down, got a little bit of Taco Bell in me. So, you know, that helped soothe me. Probably didn't help that I didn't eat today. So, you know, when you're hungry, always throws your emotions a little bit out of whack, but I'm fueled. I got the Taco Bell in my system, ready to rip through a couple podcasts. I'm super excited. How about you, Mike? How you feeling? How you doing?
I am doing great. We should get Snickers as a sponsor for the show, because you're not like you when you're hungry or something like that is the slogan.
You're not you when you're hungry.
So
it's very true.
So they should sponsor us so that we're never hungry and Chase doesn't need to make like a quick T-ball stop, because he'll just have like Snickers all over the place.
That sounds so healthy. I am so in that. I might not make it to 27 years old, but yes, it sounds great. I'm in.
Well, hey, Snickers, you know what our at is on Twitter. And if you don't, stay tuned for the rest of the episode. We'll let you know at the end of the show, but I'm doing fantastic. Went out, did a little grocery shopping today, got a haircut, looking fresh, and, got some chalky milk from Kroger too. And if you haven't had Kroger chalky milk, then you haven't had chalky milk.
Dude, it is. It's life changing. It is. Like, I don't drink milk like at all, because like it's just not for me. Kroger chalky milk, I would drown myself. I would chug gallons of it. It's absolutely world beating, dude.
Mm-hmm. It's so different.
And, you know, before you said that, I was just going to say, you know, doing those types of things, like, I hate doing so many adult activities. I hate having to grocery shop, hate having to go get my hair cut. It just takes time out of my day. I got to spend money, you know, like cleaning. I hate cleaning, but all the stuff, like, when you're finally done, you feel so, like, you feel so accomplished. Like, you just feel better. But having to do it, like, when you're about to do it and doing it, like, sucks. But, like, afterwards, you feel like a brand new man.
Yeah, I mean, I've already finished my laundry for the weekend, got the haircut, did the groceries, had a good weekend with a lot of drinks, made some barbecue. We made some ribs yesterday. They're pretty fantastic, not going to lie.
They look good.
I'm feeling great. It's been a good weekend, and after we record two just awesome episodes, we got one for the Bolts Broadcast, going over the playoff series, doing predictions, a little analysis, everything like that. So excited to go in and do my bracket live. And then we're going to do our My Guys for WNP when it comes to the NFL draft, which is another exciting episode. So ending with those two things, and then the rest of the night, I'll just be chilling because I got work tomorrow.
Yeah, play a little bit of video games, but a little bit of you can get angry at COD a little bit more, maybe play some MLB. You know, maybe you'll hit up your Chell franchise. Maybe you'll throw a curveball at us and you'll play golf with friends. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd have to re-download it, but, you know,
it's like a gigabyte.
Yeah, the potential is there. And the weirdest thing ever for me is started a Columbus franchise, and anyone that plays Chell or knows where Columbus sits as a franchise overall. Not the best team. I did absolutely nothing with the team year one, and we somehow made it to the conference championship. Year two, I signed David Krejci as the only big-name free agent, and then I lucked into getting the first overall pick and getting Connor Bedard. And just those two made it so I could win the Stanley Cup. And now we're going for a little back-to-back. David Krejci has, I think, like 85 points through 60 games. Not sure why he's going so crazy, but I love it.
You know, I can see that happening in real life, too. Like, he's probably 39 at that point. He just goes on, has a just absolutely, like, career-best year for Columbus, putting up, like, 130-point pace. It's not that high, but, you know, I can see that happening.
Yeah, him next to Kirill Marchenko and Kent Johnson just lighting it up.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's in his future for sure.
It'd be exciting. So, Chase, we are going to be talking about the seven remaining series that we have not mentioned yet. And if you're looking for the Tampa preview, make sure to go to our last episode because we talked about Tampa-Toronto, what we think would happen. We gave predictions, told you who the biggest threat outside of Austin Matthews and Nikita Kucherov are. It was some really good analysis. So make sure to go back there if you haven't heard it yet. But we'll be diving into the rest of the series and doing our live bracket on the show. And this first half, we're going to start with the Eastern Conference. So, Chase, why don't we just hop into Boston, Florida? We got little brother versus, Goliath. This is literally David versus Goliath right now. Florida barely sneaks in to the playoffs thanks to the Penguins really shooting themselves in the foot. And you got Boston just breaking records right now. So what do you think?
That's a tough one, you know, especially when you see Florida who did, you know, crawled in, and you see a Boston team who set so many records this year. It's really a tough one, dude. I don't know who I'm going to pick here.
I got to agree with you. And I mean, when you look at advanced stats too, I mean, goals per game, Florida's sitting at 3.4 and goals against, they're sitting at 3.4, about even. And then when you look at Boston, they're sitting just under 3.7 goals per game, and then goals against, they're sitting at 2. So the advanced analytics say it's close to, yeah.
And like even, you know, you want to be more well-rounded than, you know, right, skewed one way or the other. So even is better.
Good point.
So, you know, that really makes it tough. But in all actuality, Florida's going to squeak out a win here. But Boston is obviously going to win this one. Boston's like they've won too many games this year to not, like, I don't think they're going to sweep the series, no matter how far they go. I really don't. Just because they've won too many games, haven't lost enough. Someone's going to squeak one out somewhere, but then they're always going to bounce back and just do their best to roll. So I think Boston in five is going to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there. I think that Florida is going to sneak one out in game four, and it's going to anger the beast. And then in game five, Boston's going to win like 5-1 or something like that. They're just going to absolutely roll in game five, but I think there is potential for a sweep. I know you said you don't really see it happening like at all this playoffs, but I think there is that potential because, I mean, they're just such a dominant force, and Florida definitely not looking as good as they were last year.
And like it definitely could happen. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen because, like, if it happened, would I be shocked? No, but it's so hard to say that any series is going to be a sweep, especially in the NHL, regardless of how good or bad the teams are. Like, at the end, you're still a playoff team. You're still an NHL team. Like, the parity for playoff teams, even if it's a big gap, it's still enough where those teams can squeak out wins, sometimes even, you know, upset a team. Like, those things do happen. So, I very well could see a path where Boston just rolls through everybody. I could see a path where they have a seven-game series because it's all just realistic. But when you come down to thoughts, feelings, you know, just how everything else has gone, it's hard for me to imagine them, you know, not kind of rolling through, maybe dropping one here and there.
How big of an upset would Florida over Boston be?
I don't know, dude. Is it the biggest, like, ever? I don't know. It definitely the biggest in a while. If it's in seven games, like, it would be very surprising if you know, was very close to our Civil War flashbacks of 2019. You know, that would be probably the biggest upset of all time if Florida could win that thing in four. It would be large.
Mm-hmm. Florida, the lowest amount of points to make the playoffs this year at only 92. While we know Boston, they broke records, 135 points on their season. So it's going to be a pretty easy one for Boston, but hopefully they're not overlooking anything. They seem like a very sound team. The coach is obviously excellent. And if that's the case where Boston were to move on, and with our predictions last episode of Tampa sneaking by Toronto, that would mean Boston versus Tampa in round two. And we're not going to be talking about round two yet. We do want to move on and talk about our next couple of series on the East. Let's start off with Carolina versus the New York Islanders, another team that potentially was going to be missing the playoffs, but with the Penguins again, you know, helping them, they are in. Carolina looking like a really good team in their own right. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think Carolina is looking like a very good team in their own right. Exactly what you just said. I do think that you know, that they're probably like, I don't know if heavy favorites the right word, because again, like, it's playoffs. But I think most would agree that they're going to take them over the Islanders. I'm definitely taking the Canes over the Islanders. I think the Islanders are good enough to get some wins, but really the Canes are just. I think I take almost every single position group they have. Maybe just I do take every position group they have over the aisles. So this one, you know, I could see a world where this one ends up being a sweep, one of the sweeps, or I could see a world where this might go six. Seven seems a bit lofty to me, so I'm going to say Carolina in six.
I am also going to go Carolina in six. However, I am a little bit worried. The Islanders are always a very scrappy team, especially in the playoffs. We've had to deal with them as Tampa went on back-to-backs. But Carolina, they almost feel like the metropolitan Toronto Maple Leafs to me. They always have good regular seasons, but when it comes to playoffs, they don't do that much damage. So that worries me a little bit, but I think this is the year where they actually move past and get a win over the Islanders. So I agree six, but if you were to tell me the Islanders take it in like seven or something, it wouldn't be the most surprising thing.
Yeah, like it obviously could happen, and I'd be like, "Damn, I didn't see it coming," but like, I wouldn't, you know, gasp and fall out of my chair.
And then we've got New Jersey versus the New York Rangers. These two teams really loaded up near the trade deadline. This is the first time in a while that we've seen this New Jersey team at peak performance. You got Jack Hughes leading the way. And really an all-round pretty good cast over there, while Patrick Kane trying to make the run with the Rangers. What do you think about this series and who takes it?
So I'm pretty sure it was that dreaded 2019 season where like seven of the eight underdogs won in that first round, right?
I think so.
Like that, you know, other, you know, apart from our series, that was a fun year because of that stuff. And when you look at teams, like these matchups, the ones that, you know, the closer ones could either go, you know, go either way, but the ones where it seems like a bit heavier, like of a gap, I feel like I'm choosing, you know, the obvious team every single time, except for this series, because the Devils are going to win this one. I got the Devils winning the series in six, because I'm not a believer in the Rangers. I like a lot of the guys I have. I like Igor Shesterkin. I think he's a very good goalie, but there's just something I don't believe in. I don't know what. There's just something. And the Devils are one of my darling teams. I'm a huge fan. And like, I'm going to be one of the biggest Jack Hughes supporters you're going to see out there. Because it's crazy that people think Trevor Zegras is better. That's a whole discussion I've had to deal with the last 7 months of my life. I made it just a stupid argument. And I think Jack Hughes is a player who, obviously not to the same level, but like Connor McDavid, you know, can elevate his team and carry his team. I think he can do that, and he has more support outside of, you know, Connor McDavid, so he doesn't have to worry about a full carry. So I could really see the Devils getting hot here, having you know, a nice first round series and kind of catching teams and people off guard and getting it in six.
Yeah, it's a bit weird because you look at the series, the Devils are the 2 seed, the Rangers are the 3 seed, and then you look at the sports book and the Devils are the favorite, but just barely at -120, the Rangers +100. Really? But I agree with you. It feels like the Rangers seem to be the popular choice at this point. And I agree with you again, where I think the Devils take it. I'm actually going to say in seven. And this, outside of Tampa versus Toronto, this is the series I'm most looking forward to. I'm very excited to see these two teams play. But I'm going to take the Devils in seven. And it is weird. I went to the sports book. I went to the DraftKings sports book immediately because I was thinking, you know, I've got that same thinking as you do. The Rangers seem to be that popular choice, although the Devils are the two seeds. So let me see. And the Devils are actually favorites, which I was a little surprised by.
So is that just like, you know, odds makers being lazy and just saying a top seed, a higher seed gets it? Or do you think that they think the top seed is truly it and they're like, we're going to give Rangers plus, you know, these plus odds to really bait people into betting them and we take their money? Like, it's got to be, it's obviously one of those two, but like, it surprises me. It really is.
So I can give you the odds for all eight series and then you can come to your own conclusion, because I think that there's one or two other series where it's like, I think that the lower seed might be the better team in this way or whatever. But so you got Colorado and Seattle. Colorado's a -260 favorite. That seems pretty obvious. Boston, a -320 favorite over the Panthers. You've got Edmonton, a -250 favorite over the LA Kings. You got Vegas, a favorite, -170 over the Jets. That one's a little bit closer. The Canes, a -205 favorite over the Islanders. And then these last three is where I kind of think potentially could go the other way. You've got the Maple Leafs as the favorite, -155 compared to Tampa's +135. And then the Devils, -120, the Rangers +100. And then finally the Stars with a -140 to the Wilds +120.
Interesting. So all the higher seeds just are the favorites then?
Yes, every higher seed is a favorite.
And, you know, I understand that generally speaking, but it's always not that cut and, you know, like the cut and dry like that. Like, there's always circumstances where, like, there's times where lower seeds have a better regular season just because of the way that, you know, the automatic bids in the NHL happen. Like, it's like that's a real thing. So I don't know. I feel like it shouldn't just be that easily set, and maybe it is just some sort of bait thing. I don't know. It's really interesting though.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. When you look at our bracket, we have agreed with every team so far. The games might be a little bit different, but we have three of the four favorites advancing. The only one not advancing would be the Tampa Bay Lightning, of course. So an interesting east side of the bracket for sure, and we're going to be covering the west right after this commercial break. It's NBA playoff time. That means big hoops action with the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Get in on the excitement of every game with a touch of a button. New customers can make a $5 pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Plus, everyone can score a no-sweat game parlay every day during the NBA playoffs. Open the DraftKings Sportsbook app, opt in, and place a same-game parlay on any NBA game. If it doesn't hit, you'll get a bonus bet back up to $10. Go ahead, place a bet on the Celtics, because we all know they're headed to the championship. Download the app now and sign up with code THPN. New customers can make a $5 pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. They came in clutch for those money line odds for the series that we just went over a couple minutes ago. So really appreciate that. And, you know, I'm thinking with the NHL playoffs around, I know what I've said, put in $25. If I lose it all, I don't touch it. I still have one bet on the line, the Stetson Bennett in the sixth round. That could make me some money back. But right now, the account's sitting at zero. With the playoffs, I might have to just throw in five and do a Hail Mary, bet on all eight series in a parlay, bet all $5 on it, see what happens.
So what I would do, if you're into something like that, is to guess all eight is obviously, yeah, it is a Hail Mary, as you said. So I would put a smaller bet on that because you're still going to get really high odds. And like place a dollar. And then the other $4, pick like three series you truly believe in and parlay them, because you'll still get like nice odds, and the odds of it still happening are low. But like that'll pay off a little bit better. So mitigate your risk a little bit. Maybe have yourself a better chance than just a Hail Mary. And still, if you pick all eight series right on your dollar, you still might be able to retire.
I might go $3 then. Maybe I'll mitigate it a little bit, but I still want to go.
That's fair.
Still want to just take that shot. I mean, who knows? I might be Aaron Rodgers against the Lions, or I might be a quarterback that doesn't make Hail Marys work. Never know.
Shut up.
You never really know. All right, Chase, let's talk about the west side of the bracket now. Let's start with the reigning Stanley Cup champs, Colorado Avalanche. They clinched that number one seed. They're going up against the Seattle Kraken, the newest NHL team, and only in their second season, they're making it to the playoffs. I know their social media was really excited about that, but I don't know if they noticed Vegas. They made it their first year and made it to the Stanley Cup Finals too. So,
as Billy Bean says, if you don't win the last game of the season, nobody gives a shit though. So that doesn't matter.
That's true. What do you think about this Avs Kraken series? Any chance for an upset?
So here's where I stand. I think there is a chance for an upset. I think if Seattle wins, it's going to be seven games. But I think if Colorado wins, it's five games or less. I don't think Colorado's winning in six. Every year, there's at least one sweep in the first round. And this is the one I chose to be the sweep. I think Colorado takes this 1-4-0. I think that they're just the better team. Like, they have such high star power. And Seattle, yeah, like they had some guys really step up this season. And compared to last year, a team that I could root for a lot more because some of these guys are looking a lot better. But I just think Colorado is just so much better, and they've been playing so well recently, and they've been on a roll the second half of the season that I think they're probably the hottest team going into this playoffs, even more than Boston, honestly. So I think they could roll through the series.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you, but I'm going to go five. I'm going to give Seattle a pity win. I kind of hope, I think dream scenario storyline-wise would be a game seven, but Colorado still pull it off. They clutch up at the end, and then everyone talks about, oh, Colorado Avalanche, reigning Stanley Cup champs because they're clutch. And, that's what would happen. They're against Seattle. But I'd like to see it go a little longer. I don't think it will, though.
Yeah, I really can't imagine it. But obviously, I'd be happy to see, all these series go as long as possible. My freaking, what the hell? I have my bracket open, kind of doing it live. Then all of a sudden I get like a plugin there says, oh snap, plugin has failed. Now I gotta retype in everything. That's stupid.
That is tough. Let's stay in the central here. Talk about Dallas versus Minnesota. Dallas the favorite in the betting odds, as well as they are the number two seed. They have home ice advantage. I know you're a big Dallas guy with old Robertson, but this Minnesota team, little sneaky.
They could do a little sneaky sneak. They really could, because Kaprizov's that dude, and he's enough to really elevate a team through a series. But as you said, I am a believer in the Dallas Stars, so I'm going to lean the Dallas Stars in this one. It is going to be a very close matchup on the ice. I think this will be not a high octane offense series. I think a couple of guys will step up and help carry the load, but like it kind of thins out at the bottom, both these rosters in terms of scoring. So I think it'll be just like more of a spirited affair. It's some good physicality. It's a good mix of everything you want to see in a playoff game. I'm going to enjoy watching this series. It's probably my favorite first round series out of the West. I think Dallas will take it out in seven. I think it'll be just really good, strong back and forth, really down to kind of the last couple minutes of game seven.
Yeah. And I think that the obvious threat for Dallas is Jason Robertson, but I think Minnesota's got to keep an eye on Jake Oettinger. I don't know if people remember, but last year Jake Oettinger absolutely unreal in the playoffs, carried that team as much as he could. However, Dallas still losing in the first round, but Ottinger had a 9.54 save percentage. Dallas just couldn't get it done when it comes to putting pucks in the other team's net. So that's the question. Do we see a similar Jake Ottinger? If we do, I don't think that this series is going to go a full seven, and I think Dallas can pull it off, but I don't know. I there's so many aspects. I feel like Minnesota might be the more well-rounded team. While Jason Robertson puts up 109 points, he's obviously the offensive outlier for Dallas. And if we see that Jake Ottinger, then, you know, this one could be a Dallas win. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to hedge my bet. I'm going to say it's a seven game, no matter what. And I'm going to give it to Jake Ottinger this time. I was going to say Minnesota, I was, but gosh, I don't want to see Jake Ottinger lose in that fashion again.
And, like, to do what he did last year, like, it was otherworldly. So you can't say, like, oh, he's going to, you know, do all that this year again. But, like, he's definitely good enough. He gets more and more love every day, but he is still criminally underrated. He's one of the best goalies in the league, and I think he's got a really good opportunity to showcase that, and this would be a very strong series, a very strong opportunity to do so. And I do agree that I think that he's going to come out victorious, even though it's going to be a close battle. I don't think he has any games where he lets in like 5+ or everything. There's even bound to be a game you let in 4, but I don't think he ever lets in 5+. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, Jake Ottinger had a fantastic regular season too, so to think he could continue that into the playoffs, I don't think is very rare to say, but it's going to be an interesting series. I would say that one is probably my third or fourth series that I'm most excited to watch, but, you know, I hate Minnesota's branding so much that I probably won't watch much of it because I hate their jerseys and just, ew.
Yeah, you're too much of a hater.
I am.
You know, for me, I've got no problem with it. The one that I do have a problem with for Minnesota, though, if they ever pull out those stupid Subway jerseys, that's when I get really angry. Like, like it's the Minnesota North Stars. It literally looks like if Subway bought a team, that's what they'd make. It drives me absolutely nanners. I hate it. I really hate it. I hate it. Don't ever bring those out again. Throw those away. Lock up the key. Like it's lock it up with a key. Like it's just, they suck.
Would Minnesota become your most hated team if they win in game 6 while wearing the Subway jerseys and then they hit the gritty as Dallas is leaving the ice?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Everything you described couldn't be any worse.
All right, let's head to the Pacific Division. We got Vegas as the number one seed against Winnipeg, the last wild card in the West. What do you think, Chase? Do we see more than two whiteouts, or are we thinking that's not going to be the case?
I don't think it's going to be the case, unfortunately. So I've got Vegas in 5 in this one. It just feels right to me. Winnipeg, their only chance for, like, they've got two chances of winning. Kyle Connor scoring 100 goals or Connor Hellebuck making 100 saves a game. Like, that's their two paths to winning. The rest of the roster, you know, it's not, like, bad. It's just not there. It's really not a team that, like, screams playoff competitor. And Vegas, you know, they've got the Mark Stones. They've got the Jack Eichels. Like, they've got, you know, those types of star players on top of having a very well-rounded, you know, rest of the group. You know, like, Chandler Stevenson's a guy that I'm a big fan of. Like, they've got those guys in place. So I don't see how it's not them in a shorter series. I really don't. I think Winnipeg can steal one because Connor Hellebuck has a hell of a game. But, like, I really think that's kind of about it.
I'm saying we are going to see more than one or more than two whiteout games. And man, what I'd love to be a part of, the game 6 whiteout when Winnipeg clutches up and takes the series over Vegas in 6.
Wow. So are they going to do like go down 2-0, win 4? Or are they going to grab one on the road, then win 2 at home, lose one on the road? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking they're going to grab one on the road. They're actually going to split their first home. And then they're going to win in Vegas and then win in Winnipeg. Little shocker.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is interesting there.
And I got to be honest, if I'm actually putting money on the line, I'd probably go Vegas. But you know Winnipeg has had my heart for the longest while, and I'm going to continue to root for them. And I think that with Kyle Connor, how amazing he is, with Connor Hellebuck, how amazing he can be, and just some of the improvement we've seen from the team, especially Josh Morrissey. I mean, the guy is a fantastic defenseman. I think that there's a real chance that just a few plays that go Winnipeg's way could win them the series. So that's why I'm going to, on the podcast, I'll say Winnipeg, but if I'm actually putting money on it, I'd probably lean slightly Vegas.
You're a weenie.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. Last series to talk about, we've got the Edmonton Oilers versus the LA Kings. Everyone's talked about, maybe this is the Edmonton team that they have finally put the pieces around McDavid and Draisaitl to make this run. Does it start here against the LA Kings?
So here's my analysis, my prediction. I think Connor McDavid has 10 points in this playoff series, and they win the games where he scores two or more points. I think they win the series in six. I think he has two or more points in all those games, whether he scores in the games they lose. I don't know if he scores one or zero. I really don't. But it's what it feels like to me. I don't – if he's not scoring, I don't see how the hell they win. I really don't because they didn't – there's not enough around him. Nuge is playing awesome. He's scoring because of what him and McDavid Draisaitl are doing. It's not because Nuge found a new gear. Like, he's just – you know, he was able to step it up and fit into a role when needed. Like – There's just not enough around them. They don't have good enough goaltending. They don't have anything good enough for it to like work if McDavid's not going. So I think there's one or two games where McDavid has a point or less, and they're going to lose those ones. But otherwise, McDavid's going to do enough to help get them a boost. All they need is one supplemental piece of scoring, and then they win those games.
You know, I am not really worried about McDavid and Draisaitl, and if they can match the performance that they had last year through the first three rounds. And we know Draisaitl, he was injured during that point too, and they were still going absolutely insane. And for that reason, I think that they will hit at least a slightly under performance compared to last year. I think it'll be pretty similar. I think that they're taking this 1-4. You said there has to be a sweep in the first round always. I haven't had any up to this point. Give me Edmonton in that first sweep of the series or of the season.
Interesting.
Yes, sir. All right. There we go. Do we want to continue through or do we just post a picture of our brackets later?
That's a good question.
It is, isn't it?
It really is. What are we running at time-wise here, Mike?
Sitting at 32-15.
All right. I think that's a good enough show for the folks. Because if we go through it, it'll be a bit of a longer one. Maybe they'll like it. Maybe they won't. But you know, I don't want to make any people upset right now on this show. Spoiler alert. So we'll post our bracket. We'll share our brackets, post our brackets, whatever it's gonna be. We'll make sure people know what it is. But you know, for now, I say let's wait.
Sounds good. All right, we're going to end it with a hockey name of the day. We have, how do I say that? Athanasius? Fasekas. I think I got that last name right. Fasekas? But the first name's tough. Athanasius.
Athanasius.
Okay.
First name. And it's more of like Fisakis. So like you know, more like you know, it's a German name, so the E is a bit more of an A, you know. So yeah, Athanasius Fisakis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. Otherwise on EP, aka Nico. I don't know how that name translates to Nico. It could be something in that Germanic language, I don't know, but that, to me that doesn't seem like a correlation.
Yeah.
But either way, we're going to stick with Nico a little bit easier. So Nico, 26-year-old German forward, you know, currently playing this last season in the German 4 League, is moving up to the German 3 League. You know, he's going to be playing for Tulsa Leuven next season. You know, solid program out there. They've had some, like, you know, previous success in some German leagues, not necessarily up high, but, like, you know, in those, like, the two to three leagues, they've actually had some success. So, coming off of a 42-point campaign through 31 games, we'll see what he does in the higher league. He's done pretty well in that fourth league in Germany. We'll see what he does in the three, but only a little bit of experience there. So, you know, now he's a little bit older, maybe he's going to leave the team a little bit.
All right, not too shabby. All I know is I am super pumped for playoffs this year. I mean, that Devils-Rangers series is going to be electric. Toronto-Tampa going to be awesome. And then we might see some pretty easy series like Boston-Florida, Colorado-Seattle, potentially Edmonton-LA. So there's going to be a lot of fun. And, gosh, I just only one day to go. Tampa is going to be your Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, so on. So the first night we'll have to catch someone else, but definitely stay tuned for Tampa.
Yeah, absolutely. I do agree. It's gonna be a ton of fun. This should be a fun playoffs. All the way through, you know, regardless who moves on, I think there's potential for some really great matchups. So I am looking really forward to this one.
It's gonna be a good one. All right, but that's gonna do it for the show. I want to thank you so much for coming out and giving it a listen, Chase. If you would hit him with an outro.
And I can do that. As always, we'd like to thank you guys for listening. If you don't follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast, it's at Bolts Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. It's at HockeyPodNet. Or you go follow WNP on Twitter at WNP Sports Pod. It's WNP Sports Pod. Make sure to go to thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. You can find all the pods in the network right there. Boom, click the logo. That's an easy peasy lemon squeezy. Wherever you're listening, raise 5 stars, send us your questions, comments, concerns. Whatever you do, they're not free to go to THPN, Snap DraftKings.
Thanks so much for stopping by. We'll talk to you next time.